Saddle up your horses. Well, God bless you all. Welcome to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Oh, boy, if you want to reach me, you may. Let me do this right away before I forget. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. You can pull up this program on any of the podcast platforms. Put in Robin Walter Show. If you do it on Rumble, you're going to get both programs that are going to pop up, the Robin Walter Show and Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. Let you know if there's a picture of the Bible there. That's a Sunday morning program. That's 28 minutes. If it's my mugshot and a cowboy hat, that is this program, the Robin Walter Show. So today, because I am traveling, this program, I hate doing things ahead of time. Because who knows, I mean, a program may air on a Saturday or Sunday, which is when the program airs most of the time. I try to do it on Friday morning to be up to date on everything that's going on. And then, because I'm going to be traveling and I don't want to haul the equipment with me and all that stuff, I may have to do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Invariably, that seems to be the week that the world sort of blows up the day after I do the program. But it is what it is. So today our program is dealing with immigration. And you're going to hear a bunch of Bible verses in this program. I hope that you will have had the chance to listen to the Sunday Morning with Robin Walter program, which I have two episodes dealing with when immigration is judgment, part one and part two. Compelling arguments, not of mine, but from the Word of God. This is going to be a little broader today because, as you know, in this program, we will touch on biblical topics supported by some biblical verses, but a lot of it brings in a lot of political stuff that's going on. And the Bible embracement is to make sure I stay in color within the lines. All right? So, with that, I do promise to start with the good news, and the good news today is how the Bible ends. I'll start the program with how the Bible ends. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, my goodness sakes. I never thought that I would see in my lifetime until about 18, 19, 20 years ago, I began to see the end of the United States. And nothing that I've predicted has failed to happen. I'm not a prophet. It's just that you can connect the dots. And when one lines up after another, you can see the direction the dots are headed and you can predict them. So with that behind me, I want to start with, on this immigration issue, start with the fact that there are immigration that is fine. There's immigration that's good. There's immigration that's not so good, and then there's catastrophic immigration, which, as you would hear from the Sunday Morning program, is actually a judgment from God. All from Deuteronomy 28, and if you want to jump to the passages of verses 42 and 43, and 44, I think it is, 43. But anyway, I want to start with the fact that story number one, we know that illegals vote in this country. And why do the Democrats always push against verification? Because what we're doing when we actually require that a citizen, that a person prove that they're a citizen to vote, we're making the Democrat job of cheating a little bit harder. They are cheats. They've got no morals, no brains, no guts. That's why I call them Democrats. Honestly, I do not know how you can support one-third of the Democrat Party and call yourself a Christian, unless you are woefully, abysmally stuck in a mire of ignorance and you're voting the way Grandpa did because Grandpa was a Democrat because he liked FDR. Well, to start, the illegals are being instructed to vote for Biden. Well, so how can that be? They can't vote. They cheat all over the place. And they're now being encouraged to cheat. There's an organization called, it's the Resource Center of Matamoros. So it's just on the south side of the border. And the organization lobbies U.S. lawmakers, but they distribute and post flyers encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for Biden when they get to the United States or when they're in the United States. And they're illegal. They obviously see no problem with being able to cheat because they're being told to just go do this. We'll send you to these cities where we have people that will facilitate you cheating and lying, and you won't have a problem voting. So go cheat and lie. What did I read the other day? That something like 69% of CEOs of companies, 69%, though not named because they wouldn't name themselves, they had to remain anonymously, would resort to cheating to keep Donald Trump out of office. Well, we know that. The whole lawfare thing is just so catastrophic that I still stick with my guns. I'm not so sure that he's going to be elected. And if he's not, I want 17, 18, 19, 20 states to secede. Screw the left, screw the right, and go to the heartland of this country. I don't mean left as in left politics or right. I mean the coastal communities from Virginia north are screwed up and entirely up and down the West Coast, including Hawaii, excluding Alaska. It's just time to form a new country in the name of freedom. Isn't it called self-defense? And when you're in imminent harm of serious bodily injury? Well, you are if you're a Christian and you want to speak out. If you want to speak, I mean, the Democrats are using projection, are always talking about the end of democracy. Ask them to define democracy. Because democracy does, to them, is not what it has always been, and that is the freedom to speak your mind on any issue. No, you got complete freedom as long as it lines up with what their ideology is. Complete freedom. If not, well, welcome to 1938 Germany, because that's their hero. Hitler is actually the hero of the left, which is in the process of projection why they call Trump Hitler. They call everybody else things that they are to deflect from themselves and what they are doing. It's so obvious, and it's so easy to see. But they think they can get away with it, and if things go the wrong way, then we need to go. And sometimes you flee in place. If you have heard the last couple of programs, I gave you a rundown. Gosh, I can't remember which program it was, the Sunday morning program or this one, all the times biblically that people fled. Multiple times, from Paul to Joseph and Mary to Jesus. And back, and Paul fled three or four different places. Why? Because it wasn't safe. So they're encouraging people, all these illegals, to vote for Biden, which they'll find a way to do it, which is why the left pushes for the destruction of the Electoral College and have it return to a popular vote, because in a popular vote, you got 8 million new illegals voting Democrat. That's why our country is done. And if you don't think it's done, you need to hear the Sunday morning program. You'll hear the biblical basis for why illegal immigration at this juncture and in this quantity is actually judgment against this country for its sins. So bad is it that it took me two programs to fit it all in. So it's When Immigration is Judgment, Part 1 and Part 2, and Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. This program is going to give you the additional facts to consider, along with the scriptural considerations of immigration. But the fact is, Mexico won't take anybody back. Their president, I can't think of his name, he's got about four middle names, he won't take anybody back. He said he's going to refuse to let people come back over to Mexico. And you know why? It's simple. They can't go back to Mexico, and he's refusing to take them in because George Soros only paid for a one-way ticket for these people from Venezuela and Nicaragua and southern Mexico. How do they get their water? How do they get their food? These people who are coming for a better way of life, who have absolutely nothing. Give me, you're tired, you're poor. Well, wait a second. How do they get funded on a 500-mile trip, a 1,000-mile trip? Where do they get the water, the food, the clothing, the heat, the air conditioning? George Soros, he only paid for a one-way ticket to the U.S. He's not paying for the ticket back to Venezuela. Well, that's not the worst part of it. We know that China hates us. We hate them. Not the Chinese people per se. Obviously the government that has them captured and in bondage. I fully support the overthrow of the Chinese government. Why not? Give the people freedom. Isn't that what revolution is supposed to be? There's two kinds of revolution. One to overthrow the righteous, the other one to overthrow the bad. Get rid of the oppression. Well, the Chinese, I got to read these statistics to you. These are going to blow you away. In 2021, so Biden had just gotten sworn in, so the Border Patrol was still functioning to some degree under Trump's orders and protocol. They had 65 Chinese nationals that were encountered by the Border Patrol crossing into the U.S., 65 in 2021. In 2022, now Joey's program kicks into full gear, they went from 65 people to 432. You see, there's some delay here because they gotta get here from China. They got to make their plans. They got to get their ticket punched by George Soros. So there's a delay in the increase in the Chinese crossing the border. So they went from 65 in 2021 to 432 in 2022. In 2023, the number, 24,125. In a couple of years, they've gone from 65 to 24,125. Now, how do we know that this is an infiltration? Because nothing in China has really gotten any worse. It's not like people are fleeing China because, oh my gosh, it's so terrible, we can't stand it. No, they're getting set up. The Chinese had to see that we were as porous as a paper bag with 50 holes in it. And they're now coming in droves. And this number, we're in April, the second half of April, 24,125 came across in fiscal 23. They expect that by September of next year, no, September of this year, in just 5 months, the number will go from 24,125 to 50,000 that will have crossed our border. 50,000. Now, you got to hear that other program as to why this is judgment. But I have one other story to get to before we get to some details as to how we deal with immigration from a biblical standpoint, from a practical standpoint. But this story comes from Senator Bill Hagerty, a Republican in Tennessee, who did an appearance on Breitbart News Saturday, and he was detailing these shocking consequences, catastrophic criminal consequences of Biden's behavior. Biden is domestic terrorist number one. There's nobody that hates Biden or hates country more than Joe Biden, with the possible exception of Barack Obama, George and Alex Soros, and other handlers, the puppeteers for Joey Corn Pop Biden. So Hagerty details a story, talked with a guy down in the Del Rio area of Texas, between the near the Rio Grande. He's got 1,500 acres. He's a rancher. And this guy is making a complaint about all the illegals that are coming across his property to get to a railroad line where they can jump railroad cars and get to some other place. And the rancher says, quote, I'm sorry, this is Haggerty saying, quote, from the rancher, he said, quote, they get fresh change of clothes, they get walking around money, they get a ticket by train, so to speak, plane or bus to wherever they seem to want to go. They just have to say where they want to be sent. And for the most part, they get there. But that isn't the worst of it. The worst of it is that this particular rancher stated that his wife woke him up because she heard something going on in the kitchen. So her husband strapped on his firearm around his waist. He went down in the kitchen, and there were 20 Syrians. 20 Syrians in his kitchen who had finished eating him out of house and home. Everything in the refrigerator was gone and from the shelves. Haggerty said that the man cocked his gun, told him to leave. They slowly backed out the door. And he commented on it to the sheriff. But before he did, before he called the sheriff, he thought about following them out to his barn, because that's where they're camped out. Now they're camping in his barn, eating his food. And he realized, wait a minute, there's 20 of them. I only got 6 shells, and this is a 6-shooter. It's all I got. You know what? I just have an epiphany. If I could break into my own story for a minute. Isn't this single-handedly proof of why you need an AR-15 that can shoot 20 and 30 rounds? Because you've got 20 stinking Syrians that snuck into this country that are eating this guy out of house and home. You need at least a 20 or 30 round magazine, and maybe more in your back pocket. This is single-handedly why makes a case for guns that have large capacity magazines. Brought to you by Joey Braindead Skunk in the middle of the road. I'm your left-wing puppet corn pop Biden. Thank you, Lord, for this epiphany. It is. It's a revelation. On the moment, a 6-shooter didn't work. He would have been overwhelmed, dead, his wife raped, then dead, who knows, everything stolen. But apparently they didn't want to risk, for the 20 of them, risk 6 of them assuming room temperature or ambient temperature, whatever it is, to quote Rush Limbaugh. And my goodness, would he not be beside himself if he saw what was happening to this country? Rush got out of here early. God bless you, Rush. So that he said, I decided not to go out. I got a 6-shooter. Now, apparently he doesn't have a larger capacity magazine for, and it doesn't say whether he has a revolver or a semi-automatic. If he has a semi-automatic, he could obviously have a magazine that holds more rounds. But he called the sheriff, and he called the Border Patrol. And this is what the Border Patrol and the sheriff told him. He said, whatever you do, don't let a 12-year-old or even an 18-year-old go out on your property unless they are armed or as someone who is. This is where we are. Coming to a town near you. The rancher went on to say that it was just apparently a short time back that he found 2 males with their arms tied behind their back behind his barn with bullets in their head. Welcome to America. Been very, very good to me. Free credit card, free lunch, free meals, free transportation. If you don't give it to me, we shoot you. This is where we are. This is why judgment comes in different forms, and sometimes it comes in the form of illegals. Not all of them are criminals. Not all in the past have been part of the judgment. But they are today. 8-9 million of them. So let's take a look at this from a civic standpoint and a biblical standpoint. I'm always kind of amused at Congress and the media's approach, and maybe the amusement is wearing off, where they just, the way that they deal with illegal immigration is just call them legal, or just call them immigrants, or let's just call them newcomers, or whatever the bull crap is that the media uses, and our loser left-wing government, the ones that actually hate democracy, the ones that say we're fighting to save democracy. But keep in mind, democracy to the left is, or you're anti-democracy if you don't bow down and do obeisance and fealty and laud and honor on your knees and basically worship the government and all of its agencies that are run by the left. Democracy to the left has nothing to do with being able to openly speak your mind about any topic. No, democracy is you're not honoring and worshiping the government agencies which they control across the board. That's their definition of democracy. That's the Democrat view. So, you know, it actually kind of reminds me of a situation. Let's just call them newcomers. I had a client, a law client out in Palm Springs, California. And I talked with him. He came to me about, you know what? I've got a maid who's stealing from me. I know she's stealing things. I think she's stealing money and so forth. And he said, I need to be able to put maybe some of my finances in control of a trustworthy third party. And so I was talking about that. And I said, well, yes, we can do that. And so we set up an appointment, a follow-up appointment for him to come back in. And we would, at that point, discuss the precise details of this arrangement so that we could protect his estate. Maybe can't protect the bowl, a bowl of whatever, China bowl in his closet or something. She may walk out with that. I can't quite help him there other than to fire her, right? Fire her, and then we'll protect you against a new maid. He comes in, and shock of all shocks, his maid is with him. And I said, ma'am, I need you to sit outside here because this is a confidential conversation with my client. Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. No problem at all. I'm fine. I'm happy. I go in there, and I said, okay, I don't know what she's doing with you. He said, well, I have taken care of the problem. You have? Yeah. I married her. Now she's not stealing anymore because she's my wife. And obviously, that was the end of that client relationship. I had nothing to do. If he's going to be stuck on stupid, then go ahead. I can't do anything about stupid. But it reminds me, that situation reminds me of the approach that we have here in this country. Let's not call them illegal. Let's just call them immigrants. Let's call them newcomers. Why don't we call them my relatives? Why don't we call them my wife? Well, you know, it's the equivalent of going ahead and marrying the maid that's robbing them out of house and home. God has some things to say about foreigners who break in. Obadiah 11, the book of Obadiah 11. Edom, the country is Edom, is chastised by God for doing nothing when the foreigners broke through the gates in Jerusalem. God takes them out. I mean, God is ticked at Edom, which had a semi-blood relationship with the Hebrews. But they didn't do jack when the illegal aliens, the newcomers, broke through the gates of Jerusalem and ravaged it. So who's Edom? Maybe it's the Republicans. You know, we know the Democrats suck big time. They aren't Americans. They're stupid or they're American haters. But the Republicans that don't have any guts and just want to be reelected, and they are now accommodating the plundering of America, when Mike Johnson, who we thought was a great pick, is somehow going along with Democrats now and not doing anything towards the border and will overfund Ukraine. Screw Ukraine. I don't really care. I mean, I care about the lives and so forth, but the fact of the matter is that's on somebody else's watch. We are not the policemen of the world. And Ukraine has a huge problem with pedophilia. Tucker Carlson is absolutely spot on with a lot of stuff he says about the Ukraine. Not trying to make Russia turn out to be the righteous of the righteous. By no means. Let them fight it out. Let them slug it out. Because if and when Russia takes over Ukraine, Ukraine will have an insurgency that Russia will not be able to handle, just like it couldn't handle and control Afghanistan when they went in there. The homebred insurgency. All the 14-year-old Ukrainian boys that are now 17 that all they want to do is kill their Russian occupiers. If you want to tie Russia up for the next 25 years, let them have Ukraine. All their time will be spent on trying to maintain control over that country. All right, I digressed, didn't I? Nehemiah was ordered by God. Nehemiah, ordered by God. And in what book do you think that shows up in? Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah. Good guess. Was ordered by God to build a wall. A wall to ensure that the interests, the values, and the religion of the Hebrews would be preserved and not compromised. Physical safety, emotional safety, prop safety of their valuables, and the protection of their faith was why they built a wall. Just like we should have on our southern border. How many of these people breaking in are rampant Christians? My guess is none of those 20 Syrians were. They're probably mullah-worshipping Muslims who will blow out and join some cell group and blow up some stadium or who knows what when they get the orders. Borders are important. They are important. There are 197 references by God to borders. And there's great specificity about the borders in Scripture. Very great details of which tribe gets which land. God spells out the borders. Borders would be irrelevant if they didn't define where certain people have a right to be and others don't have a right to be. People will say, well, no one is an illegal. That whole argument, which makes it so let me understand. I get to break into your house, right? And why do you have locks on it, you dirty so-and-so? Why does Poop Francis, who's really against our border policies, have walls and fences guarding his sorry rear end at the Vatican? Why, you hypocrite? They say, oh, no one is illegal. Then I guess I'm not illegal if I break into your house, right? Kick down your door, eat all the stuff in your kitchen. I'm not illegal. I'm a newcomer to your home. The concept of open borders is absolutely absurd, and it's from the left. It's from Satan himself. If it's open, it's not a border. You might want to write this one down. Psalm 74, verse 17. Oh, we're coming up to a break. Well, this gives you time to write it down. So when we come back, I got a few other things for you to jot down. You're going to know everything you need to know biblically about immigration by the time we're done, from a biblical perspective and a practical perspective. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. This is Robin Walter. I picked that song out today because the left will call it a revolution when the right states leave. They'll call it a revolution, what it really isn't. The scripture is not replete with passages encouraging overthrowing the government, quite the contrary. But there's nothing in scripture that says we can't leave or that we shouldn't leave or flee. Or flee in place, because there's no place to flee to. Although I kind of like the Cook Islands. But anyway, that's another story. The places to go are right where we are, but the places we are may need to be severed from the company that's become increasingly totalitarian. Because honestly, if Donald Trump isn't elected, it's over. It really, truly is over. And we're going to have more programs that detail with preparing for that. Psalm 74, verse 17, says that it's the Lord that establishes the borders of the earth and the boundaries of nations. They're appointed land. Well, people might say, well, then that means Gaza has to stay with the Palestinians in the West Bank. No, no, no. Israel is not occupying all that God gave them. God established a border bigger than what that country presently occupies. Its footprint is only a fraction of what God ordained Israel to have. The West Bank, Samaria, belongs to Israel. Take it over, assume complete sovereignty, and if the Palestinians are having a hissy fit about it, then just go to where there's a gazillion other Palestinians. Jordan. Jordan is Palestinian. They got a lot of places there, but Jordan doesn't want them. Numbers 34, 1 through 12, very specific borders as to what tribes get what area. Ezekiel 45, 1 through 3, details how even seemingly small things dealing with borders is very significant. And there are four times in Scripture where people are admonished to not remove a landmark. We have this thing in law called meets and bounds descriptions. Realtors would know about it. It's where it's not, you know, lot three of the maple subdivision and blah, blah, blah. No, it's a survey that says starting at such and such a point and then going 135.43 feet north, northeast, so many degrees, so many minutes, to a rock. A big rock. And at that rock, then you turn another direction. The rock is a landmark. We don't see that too often because those are older legal descriptions in the United States. May sometimes say go to the river and then proceed along the side of the river X amount of feet. But landmarks biblically were things like rocks and maybe even trees. Big trees were landmarks for identifying what? The border to one's land. And as four times in Scripture says, if you move the landmark, you have violated a border to the point where you have actually stolen another person's real estate. How about that? We have the right of self-defense in Scripture to protect our land, to protect our own borders. It's very clear. A thief breaks into your house at night, you can toast them, kill them. Doesn't really matter whether they're a threat or not. At night, you can kill them because it's an assumption, since you can't see them in the middle of the night, that you don't know what harm they'd want to do. The rule changes when you can see them during the daytime and you find out that it's a 12-year-old boy with a pea shooter. No, you don't get to toast that kid. It's a different situation. But we have a right of self-defense. And Jesus told us to take the sword when we go out. It's a self-defense, Luke 22. And you might want to read Micah 5:5-6. You know what? I think I'll read it. I think I can fit it in here because it's kind of a fun verse to read. Micah 5:5-6. It says, "And when a man shall be at peace, then the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our places," in other words, he's trespassing, he's illegal, "then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, and then they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treadeth within our borders." This is amazing. This is not only the approval and validation of protecting your own land. It's actually a command to then go waste the land of the person who is intruding upon you and upon your land. Now, I can't give you a common day application other than to say that the right of defending our property to the point of whatever is necessary, the sword, which that would translate into guns today, not only do we have the right to defend our land with guns, Scripture actually accommodates being able to go then trash the land of those who are invading our country. Isn't that what war typically is? So the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor, and then we come out and we start going after and ultimately bomb Japan. They encroached upon our borders, we go toast them. That's what war is all about. But it has a biblical root here, a biblical basis, a biblical validation. Well, how do you treat those that are here legally or by invitation or permission? Well, Malachi 3:5 goes on to say that there's a law, one law for the native-born and one law for the bulls that are here, a foreigner, but they're here legally. It's not a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit for U.S. citizens on a street, but a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit for foreigners. Maybe they should be if they're used to driving on the left. I don't know. But the point here, there's one law for the stranger and one for the native born. Leviticus 19:20 identify the identical privileges and but also the identical obligations for those who are here legally or by invitation or permission. But then there are also distinctions that are made. So that when somebody chooses to dwell here, and even though they're here by permission, there are some things that they still don't get to do. They didn't get to take Passover. Not if they didn't get circumcised, they're still a foreigner. Among the Hebrews, debts could be canceled at the Jubilee. But there was no debt cancellation to the foreigners because they were not brethren. They were not circumcised. They had not identified with this country or that country to the point of subscribing to their law, their customs, their duties, their obligations, which was manifested there by circumcision, but would be manifested in this country by what? By legal citizenship. You could charge interest to those who were not here, they were in Israel legally, but they could still be charged interest, where Hebrews could not charge each other interest. So there were those differences, even though they're here by permission, which would one of the things that they could not do and should not do if they're here legally by permission is vote. What we started out the program with. They can't vote, not legally. And that's a legally and biblically based prohibition. So kind of summarizing this in a sense, we got borders means something, a right to identity, sovereignty, which of necessity includes the absolute right to control our borders. What God calls relevant, Joe Biden and the Democrats can only call irrelevant Mayorkas, the worst person in the United States in government. That smug look on his face, boy, I'd like to wipe it off. Can't do it legally. I can't go up and wipe that smug look off his face. He's walking around. I mean, what a punk. I mean, he hates America more than even Biden himself. And maybe more than Barack Hussein Obama. But we only call what God calls relevant. We only can call it irrelevant at our own peril. So it's at our own peril that we call our borders irrelevant. It is judgment. It is judgment. And I feel like I have to read Deuteronomy 28, those verses to you, very briefly. When the nation turns against God, the nation that knows God and its sins, and it's now got a fist in the face of God, we're giving God the finger with all the crapola that we do in this country and subsidize and now export. Our number one export is sin. Very clearly, we export sin more than any other country. Most of the child pornography comes from Southern California. We push abortion, queer this, queer that, sodomy, queer marriage, transvestitism, transgenderism. We subsidize and send money to countries to influence them to accept sin as a normal way of life. Deuteronomy 28:41. After all these sins, your sons and your daughters are not going to enjoy freedom. They shall go into captivity. What's captivity? Well, when the foreigner comes across the border and takes over. Well, you think they'll take over? Well, listen to the next couple verses. The trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. Why don't you just put in cicadas and what we're expecting there? For the alien that's within your borders shall rise higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall end up lending to you. You shall not lend to him. He shall be the head. You shall be the tail. The foreigners come in. They take over. And it's actually part of judgment. That's what that other program is about, which you need to hear. But there is a difference here between strangers who choose to identify with us and those who dwell with us and who seek to know and abide by laws and customs of the land. The illegal coming here for freebies and whatever it is, commit crimes, bring in drugs, ship in fentanyl, child molestation, child trafficking, what have you. Now, they're not interested in being citizens unless doing so gives them more freedom to abuse our laws. While certain fundamental laws of equity apply to everyone, Scripture specifically acknowledges the right of a host country to have certain rules that prefer citizens over non-citizens. That's among those that are here lawfully. And those who are desire to dwell among us, but those who actually aren't even here lawfully, it's a whole different ballgame. You see, what God has given us is an inheritance. And within an inheritance is a gift. But when we abuse the blessing, then he reserves a right to remove the blessing. And he is. We could and will lose this country like the Hebrews lost theirs because of sin. Want to know about that? Read Leviticus 18, 20 through 28. Oh my gosh. But despite all of this, is there hope? I don't know. There is hope for you as an individual, for your family, maybe for your loved ones, for your property. We have provisions in Scripture that indicate that we will and can be blessed by following God, but we don't necessarily escape the consequences of a country that has gone into deep, deep sin. And among those Christians who never did anything, how about the Christians who didn't even vote? Are they partly responsible for where we are? Absolutely. Are they partly responsible for the dead in Afghanistan and the withdrawal? Are they partly responsible for those who are getting hassled by the DOJ or the DOI, the Department of Injustice, or the FBI, or the pastor who's looking at 11 years in prison for praying outside of an abortion clinic, who's met with a bunch of FBI agents with automatic weapons, I might add? Are Christians that don't vote partly responsible for the 100,000 deaths from fentanyl crossing our southern border because they didn't vote? Or worse yet, they picked Joe No Brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, corn pop loser Biden as a president because they didn't like the antics of Donald Trump? They didn't like that he's rough and he's coarse and he's rude. And of course he is. He is rough. He is crude at times. They don't like the idea of him talking roughly, but they like the smooth, charismatic words of somebody like Barack Hussein or Gavin Greaseball Gruesom, two who would make great antichrists. And maybe they're running for that spot. I don't know. Have to get rid of the Electoral College first. Go to the popular vote. No, actually, God is not going to share that vote with us, but that person has been identified by him already. No, you know what? Christians are part of the problem if they haven't done all to stand. They sit in loser churches and pay money to bad churches that honestly seem to be erected around accommodating gross social sins and borders, a misconstruing and bastardizing, frankly, passages that deal with control of our borders. Ones who, in an effort to look Christ-like, throw out compassion where actually no compassion is called for, but judgment is called for. Yeah. Christians who place too much stock in alleged prophecies in 2020 about Donald Trump winning, and put so much stock in the prophecies of Donald Trump winning that they think it's in the bag and they don't have to go vote. And we end up with Joey Cornpop and his demonic henchmen, otherwise called his cabinet, and the head of the various government agencies, which, of course, if we don't support a government agency, we don't support democracy, so they say. No, pastors who don't have the guts, don't have the cojones, eunuchs in black robes that won't preach the gospel as the way it ought to be preached about hell and heaven and what our duties are. No, a lot of the blame lays right at the church. And the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. So we are, that's where we are. Exodus 34:24. I'm going to throw this out very briefly, but I would like you to read it. Exodus 34, actually verses 23 and 24. It talks about the duty of the men, to stand up and come together three times a year in Israel. It's going to take a different form in this country. But to come together and to relearn, recommit to the Word of God. The men need to do it. And it also says in that passage that if the men would fulfill their manly duty to God and recommit as they come together to carrying out God's Word, following His statutes and His commandments, which would also mean being a good husband, good father, good boyfriend, good brother, good whatever, good father, all of those things, amazingly, God would remove the desire of the aliens to come into our land. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how God does that. Ask him. He's God. But that's what his word says. And we have had that blessing in this country. Only the British in 1812 and the Japanese during World War II in Alaska ever touched American soil. You see, it says in that passage in Exodus that God will put it in their heart of the alien to not want to come into this country. And when that Japanese commander after World War II was asked, why didn't you ever invade the United States? He said, are you nuts? There's a gun behind every bush. Are you just cockamamie crazy? Why would we do that when the whole country is armed? Whether that was true or not, God put that fear in the Japanese heart about not coming into the United States. And where did they get? I think they trespassed on somewhere in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. And of course, the British already had a position in Canada, so they came across the border in the War of 1812. They didn't get very far. No, they didn't. Because God kept them. We were, without being a perfect country, God at least recognized our efforts to hold up biblical standards. So, could God give us over to foreigners like he did Israel? Absolutely. And it's in process right now. You see, if the U.S. is annexed by Mexico, a de facto annexation, and basically is sort of taken over by Mexico, Nicaragua, Venezuela, all of Central America, parts of Northern South America, it's not because they are better than we are, and it's not because they are stronger than we are. It would be simply a result of our sin. That's all. And this touches on a sin I haven't talked about, but it's germane. What has the left used as a reason for opening of the borders? What have the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies said was the reason we need to have our borders opened up and more immigration? What have they said? What has the United States Chamber of Commerce said as to why we need these people crossing our borders? Well, you know the answer of what they're saying. It says that we need more workers. We can't fill all the work that is necessary. Well, the work we need is in high tech. It's not people streaking across the border from Syria, taking up residence and ripping off a guy's refrigerator in Del Rio, Texas. To the extent that we need these workers, this is why we need them. It's because we have aborted over 60 million future workers for the United States. Ones that might have found the cure to cancer or whatever, I mean, who knows what disease, or would have technological advances. And yeah, those who work in factories as well. We have executed over 60 million Americans and now are complaining we have to open up our borders to have enough workers come in to fill those positions. We create a vacuum through abortion, a vacuum that now supposedly needs to suck in all those that we have killed. And so we end up having one sin that, along with other sins, abortion certainly not the only sin, but it was kind of the first of the biggies before you get to queer sex, queer marriage, and all that crap, and trannyism. It started with the abortion industry. We create the vacuum, sin number one, which then, in that giant sucking sound, as Ross Perot would talk about, create our own judgment. You see, God actually doesn't even have to judge this country to deal with the sin of abortion. We've killed so many that now comes those who supposedly we need, and in the troops, in the groups of the 8 and 9 million that have come across, a whole bunch that want to blow this country up. And whether it's by drones, bombs, pistols, semi-automatics, knives, it is coming to a country near us. And this is why we have it, is because it's judgment. We have defied the word of God to a point that maybe our prayers won't be answered, like it says in Jeremiah. Don't pray for me anymore for these people. I've had enough. Judgment must come. But you can be spared and saved, your family, get right with God, having done all to stand. Sit tall in the saddle and ride for the brand. We'll see you next week.